into Latin America and in Africa. And in this reach, the Chinese are way ahead in terms of their planning for their economic transformation, which we must remind the audience was based on principles of socialist planning. Now, there is a struggle going inside of China between different branches of the Communist Party, but one should remind the audience that the ruling party in China is a Communist Party. Now, in the past 10 years, the Chinese have signed infrastructure for resources deals with 20 African countries. These infrastructure for resources deals means that a country such as Angola was able to get around the bullying tactics of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. And so this infrastructure projects of the Chinese in Africa has changed Africa to the point where the African economies are now at the leading edge of transformation. And what one needs in Africa is to promote the revolutionary processes in Africa that started in Egypt so that one can remove those governments in Africa that are an obstacle to the economic and political transformation in Africa. As the young people of Tunisia and Egypt says, it's time to change the political system. And all over the world, young people of Brazil, Turkey are on the streets calling for a change in the political system. So although the Chinese have invested in infrastructure in Africa, there's a problem in that the political leadership in the main, they've been an obstacle to the reconstruction of the African societies to make it more responsive to the needs of Africa so that those resources that are in Africa can serve the needs of the people.
Professor Cambo, we have to end it there, but I'd like to ask you to stay after the show. We'll do a post-show interview and post online at democracynow.org and particularly talk about South Africa and the significance of President Nelson Mandela. Professor Horace Campbell teaches African American Studies at Syracuse University. Democracy Now! Is produced by a remarkable group of people. Mike Berk, Renee Feltz, Aramate Nirmi, Shake, Steve Martinez, Sam Malkoff, Hani Masood, Rabbi Karen. I'm Amy Goodman.
This is WHFR, Dearborn. Welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. We're not the same as last week. That's why we're new. You know, local news and alternative views. And we're here today with, going to have, weather permitting, two very special guests in the studio. One did make it in already. And we're going to begin with that interview. If you looked at our website, I actually got the notice up yesterday. We are continuing to interview candidates for city council. Now, again, folks, don't expect you'll hear your favorites. The incumbents we didn't invite. Why not? Well, if you don't already know what great people they are on the council, then maybe you ought to listen to these other folks. I mean, seriously, no disrespect, but they've had their chance. They've had their time in office. They have been out there, many of them for many terms. But these are the other choices, folks, and also we don't have time enough to have even the incumbents on. So no disrespect to the incumbents. We have incumbents on during the regular year, but campaign times, especially when there's a total of 21 candidates for Dearborn City Council that are going to be brought down to 14 candidates, twice as many as are needed for the November election. But August 6th is the primary election. So a big decision here. Which are the 14, if you will, finalists to go for the seven available slots? And two of the incumbents are not running this year. Okay, proceeding on, we have 15 minutes to speak to Jane Ahern first today on the WHFR Journal. And we try to ask pretty much the same questions of all the candidates that we've written on in advance. We may do a follow-up or so. By the way, Dennis Reimars, our WHFR News Director, is here in the studio. Thanks, Dennis, for going out there and standing in the rain and waiting for Jane.
What rain?
Yeah, okay, we don't hear you, so why not? Let's see here. Oh, you're on three. Okay.
Punchlines don't work if they can't hear me.
There we go. No, we got to have Dennis's acerbic wit here whenever possible.
Yeah, that's what they call it.
Jane, again, welcome. How are you doing today in general?
I'm doing very well.
Okay, can't hear you either.
Thunderstorm that
there
doesn't
we go.
Exist.
Right. Yes, we won't talk about that. But you are indoors, and it's not leaking in the studio here, at least. There we go. Okay, let's begin. I also want to mention, folks, the League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights. I'll mention this later in detail. They have already asked all the candidates for questions, and those written responses are on their website. Use the first letter of League Women Voters DearbornHeights.org, and you'll get there. I'll tell you more about that later. But sort of like their first question, please tell our listeners, Jane Ahern, about your education, maybe jobs you've had, any other relevant experience that would lead toward being a great candidate, a great new city council person.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and thank you very much for providing this kind of forum for not only me but the other candidates. It's greatly appreciated. I do want to get started by thanking WHFR and also thanking the League of Women Voters as well. It's a wonderful way to get to know the candidates a little bit, and they usually do a fantastic job during the general election as well. So with that, a little bit about me. I served on the mayoral task force or the community task force in 2010. I was the revenue enhancements chair of one of the subcommittees, which meant coming out of that process with 31 of us who were selected throughout the community, whether we were business or volunteer, or, you know, every aspect of the community was represented on this 31-person task force. The recommendation came out to have that 3.5 millage increase for 5 years. In running for city council, I ended up doing some research on what our bond rating looks like. Our bond rating has gone down slightly from AA3 to AA2. Why? Well, it's because we're intimately tied to the automotive industry. And so bondholders don't believe that the automotive industry is as stable as they'd like it to be, although I'm telling you, I'm really enjoying 212 to 213 more so than I was in 2009 and 2010. The good news is, long-term, our prospects have gone from negative to positive. And what was one of those reasons that the bondholders gave? It was because of that 3.5 millage increase for that 5-year sunset. And I believe that I was seminal in getting these kinds of recommendations passed by the voters. And it's going to lead to very good things for our city. We came through one of the worst recessions in the past century, and Dearborn, through its smart leadership, Dearborn, through public reactions and interactions, came up with one of these recommendations that are being followed through, and I think I was a real part of that. Thank you.
Your educational background?
I graduated just next door, U of M Dearborn.
Okay, that's fine.
I was a graduate of political science.
Okay.
I was the commencement speaker there. I was vice president. I was involved in everything you could be involved in, part-time job, all of that.
It is at least theoretically possible to learn politics from a political science degree.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is. But it's more about public service, okay. I think.
I had professors at Oakland University who said, you know, it's not a science. Don't believe what they say, you know, but, you know, we can only talk about and analyze what happened after it happened. Pretty much, because it's a very human kind of thing, politics, and there's so many different variables you can't necessarily predict how our things are going to work out, which is encouraging for candidates because maybe you will win, you know, you can't really say. Tell me also about the community task force. You were appointed, not elected for that, by the mayor.
That's correct. Okay. That is a correct statement.
And he got to know you because you were on the Neighborhood Association?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Through the Highland Neighborhood Association, as well as the Dearborn Federation of Neighborhood Associations, which is the umbrella organization. Currently, there are about 12 out of 34 of the neighborhood associations that are active.
Where is Highland? I've only lived in Dearborn since 1979, so where is Highland Neighborhood?
Well, I'm a newbie as well, so it's been 19 years for me.
Okay.
Ford Road, Telegraph, Outer Drive, Terry Hill area.
Okay.
Wilson is the cutoff, so anything south of Wilson would be the Highland Neighborhood Association.
All right. So West Dearborn, sort of.
You got it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move to our second question then, which is controversial. But this came up in the papers even the last couple of weeks. Which side are you on? Do you actually take sides here? So are you generally in favor of Mayor O'Reilly and his policies the last few years, or against? I mean, some people seem to be actively campaigning in that sort of polarized way. So where do you stand on Mayor O'Reilly and his major policy? I mean, he did appoint you to the task force, so thank you very much for that extra work for no pay. But still, where do you stand on that question? It's sort of, it's a divisive thing, but sometimes that's the right place to go as far, you know, one way or the other. How do you feel about that?
I don't think he's going to get 94% of the vote in this cycle.
98, maybe?
Right.
I'm just joking because, you know, whenever you write, it's a political rule, and you've learned it in your classes.
Sure.
If you don't already have significant name recognition among the people who might be the voters, you don't have much of a chance. And I can't remember the last time he ran against someone who did not have that equivalent name recognition to his. He got at least 80%, and I expect you might do better than that in November. It has nothing to do with policy. It's just name recognition. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't do their research or their homework, and they don't read the news regularly, and they don't listen to the WHFR Journal. I can't believe that, but some people don't listen to the show or even its podcast from our website other times of the week, but that's true. Many people don't keep up, and that's too bad. But I'm just saying that a lot of the council candidates are actively running against pretty much all of his recent policies. Now, you said you were for that millage, and I totally understand that. It was sort of a makeup for all the money the people of Dearborn saved over the last few years because the property values went down, their taxes went down. Of course, everybody would love to have lower taxes, but that just kills city services, whose the cost for which have not gone down, and other commitments the city has made. And so, I mean, Henry Ford Community College faces this issue for perhaps a millage, which is coming up probably in November. Hasn't been decided the exact time for that, but probably this November. And we've but lost millions of dollars over the last 4 years just because it's been at the level it was set 10 years ago, and we're dependent. I think almost 20% of our budget is dependent on the local millages too. So our new president has proposed an extra mill that won't even make up for where we were 10 years ago in terms of what we collected, but it's that same sort of approach. And I hope the argument goes a second time. It would be terrible, I think, to have Henry Ford Community College give less service to the community and its students than what we've done in the past. And we've always been a stellar institution. I hope we don't become third rate. So it's sort of a makeup millage. It's not really more dollars. It's just trying to make up for the ones that disappear because of lower taxes.
That's right.
Well, anyway.
And that's due to sunset in 3 years. So what's happening now is we have a clean-cut $100 million budget. And that makes it easier for all of us to do crunch the numbers a little bit.
As you probably know, the council will also have a problem with losing the personal property taxes.
Yes.
That is what businesses pay on the things that aren't bolted down in their offices.
Right.
The state of Michigan said no, and there has been no answer how that money will be made up.
That's correct.
Although Governor Snyder said, well, we'll find some way, but ha-ha. And revenue sharing with the state has gone down, drastically down. Mayor O'Reilly's commented on that the last several times he's come to the studio over the last couple of years. How can you survive when you lose all of a sudden millions of dollars that had been collected by the state and all of a sudden are not coming to us anymore? So some really big, I think those are the big financial challenges. They're about 2 or 3 years down the road.
Absolutely.
But you've got to plan for them now.
Absolutely.
And get some action there. Mm-hmm. And you're definitely proven that you're the kind of community-involved activist that wants to make something happen. I mean, just your record. All right.
Yes.
Well, so why not run for mayor?
I'll start off with city council first. I'll follow the blueprint being in city council for a couple of years will hopefully prepare me for a larger office as mayor.
You probably have more name recognition than the other four candidates running against Mayor O'Reilly here. But you do agree, and back to question number two, you do agree with some of the things he's done, like the millage proposal.
Yes.
It's So that takes me to question number four. What about the new City Hall?
Through the League of Women Voters, I did say that I was positive on the DAC, which is the Dearborn Activity Center. And also Art Space. I'm also a big fan of Art Space as well. Mm-hmm. Now, am I a fan of how it got communicated and how quickly the decision got made? No, I'm not. I think you absolutely have to get more citizen buy-in, more resident buy-in, and that didn't happen, which is kind of an odd situation insofar as I really thought that resident buy-in was a priority in the past. And it seems to me as though some decisions get made without resident information, without that information even getting passed City Hall. And I'm curious to know when that communication started breaking down.
Yeah, the only excuse I can think for that is that there was some other nibbler to the people that owned that property, and the mayor wanted to rush in and get it before it was gone.
And that's the reason why I think it's a good idea.
But he hasn't used that argument yet. He's never said that. But that would be the only excuse. I kind of agree with you, and most of the community does. How do we get here so fast? You know, it doesn't seem like there was enough due diligence or whatever, investigation.
Well, I think that what ended up happening was a great deal came along, and I believe that it was spectacularly bad timing, because basically you had that millage increase coming in at the same time that they bought a City Hall, when we're losing libraries and pools and we're losing other city services, pocket parks, if you like. Yes, Dennis.
Well, I just wanted to tell everybody this is a new WHFR Journal. We're speaking with Jane Ahern, candidate for City Council in Dearborn. We have a few minutes. Can we do some quick hits here? Is that okay? Three hits. Jay has on here City Essentials, the fire department merger. Quick thoughts on that.
I think it's a great idea. The city services, there are many instances where we're starting to consolidate with other communities, surrounding communities.
Tell me about how you feel about the pools. This is something that will come up each year.
I knew there was going to be a flashpoint because we're so service city rich. I didn't know where it was going to come in 2010, but I knew there was going to be a flashpoint, and that's the flashpoint.
Okay. Libraries?
I love libraries. If the Dearborn Heights Libraries closes, I hope to goodness that our closed library reopens. Absolutely.
Historical Museum?
Big fan. I'm having a fundraiser there July 14th.
Okay.
Well, we were going to mention that, too, at the end. What about those West Dearborn paid parking towers and the whole issue of paid parking in West Dearborn?
Oh, boy. You know, that's a ship that sailed, because how are we going to come up with the revenue otherwise? If we can come up with a millage or a 2 millage increase to get past that, I think it would make everybody happy, but we can't just let those bills go unpaid.
Well, you know, theoretically, we're still suing Burton Katzman for $20 million, so that would really be nice, and I don't know where that is now, how long they can delay that. I think we've got the goods on them. They didn't do what they said, even though they split up into all these other little companies and changed their name a couple times, but I haven't heard anything from the mayor or Deborah Walling or legal people. Where is that? I mean, I thought if I was Burton Katzman, I would just negotiate and settle for half of what they owed and get out of it, you know.
But well, once something ongoing. Like that gets out of the political realm and into the legal one, sometimes those are much slower processes.
Well, the Supreme Court doesn't have much on its plate right now, so but they're just adjourned for summer. Oh,
no
well.
Kidding.
Right. So give us, to conclude, a summary of why people should vote for you. Your contact information that I know of is your campaign website is Ahern, that is Ahern, for Dearborn. That's the number 4, Dearborn.com. Right?
Well, I do think, yes, that's exactly correct.
But go ahead.
I think a vibrant city is where everyone can participate in civic life. I'm a huge fan of civic participation, and I believe I would be a great advocate for communication. I'm an excellent advocate for community, and I'm committed to this most excellent city. We're service rich. I will fiercely defend that, but we also have some challenges coming up, and I'm looking forward to striking those balances.
And you already mentioned it. Is that the next appearance, fundraising that you have, July 14th?
Well, it's so exciting tonight. I'm going to be at Buddy's. And
Buddy's
there's
Pizza,
going to be Buddy's
Michigan
Pizza,
Avenue,
6 to 8 p.m. And as you know, their deep dish is going national.
Well,
other people are picking up on it, like Little Caesars and other national chains, because it's Detroit pizza, and they're the starters of the Detroit pizza.
Here's a bad pun. They can keep the dish. I'll just take the pizza. Okay.
Teen Angels are going to be performing tonight. The city of Dearborn has has a program called Friday Nights in the Park.
Weather permitting.
Weather permitting.
Okay.
And I can't wait for all of those who aren't from Dearborn to see all of the wonderful things that we have to offer.
So Buddy's not going to put you on the patio tonight?
No.
It's raining. Okay.
No.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank
We've
you
been
very
speaking
much.
With Jane Ahern, who's one of the 21 people looking for 7 seats, finally, on the Dearborn City Council. Primary election, Tuesday, August 6th. Be there, do it, make the best decisions possible, and research all these people. We'll give you information as we get a moment here later in the hour and continue to tell you about the League of Women Voters website, where Jane Ahern has answered her 4 questions very completely and intelligently. And so take a look at that and make a great decision. Thank you very much, Jane, for being on the new WHFR Journal.
Much.
We're going to feature right now the first commentary from our Texas populist, Jim Hightower, Corporate Arrogance.
But when it's overlaid with ignorance, it really gets ugly. Meet Arrogance, TransCanada Corporation, a $1.3 billion pipeline giant based in Calgary, is now demanding a U.S. permit to run its Keystone XL pipeline right down our country's center in order to move toxic tar sand sludge some 1,700 miles from northern Canada to export facilities on the Texas Gulf Coast. The environmental threat of this KXL pipe, which would cross thousands of farms, suburbs, and water resources, has been widely reported. Less known, however, is that this foreign corporation has been crudely bullying American farm families and anyone else who dares to oppose its poisonous pursuit of profit. Now, meet ignorance. The Texas Railroad Commission, already infamous for its tail-wagging acceptance of any scam put forth by the corporations it's supposed to regulate. Texas law meekly hands the public's power of eminent domain to certain pipeline companies, allowing them to grab people's land, usually at a lowball price. To get this extraordinary power, however, the grabsters must be, quote, common carriers, meaning their pipelines are essentially public, available to all users. TransCanada's line, however, exists solely for its private gain, so it is not qualified to use eminent domain. Nonetheless, the high-handed Canadian outfit is using it. Sell your property at our price, TransCanada tells landowners, or we'll just take it. How can it get away with this arrogance? Because the so-called watchdog agency benightedly accepts any pipeline corporation's word that it is a common carrier. No questions asked. This is Jim Hightower saying, the good news is that such Texans as Julia Trigg Crawford are rebelling. To learn about her gutsy fight, go to standwithjulia.com.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
You're listening to the new WHFR Journal. We're here today with a couple of Dearborn City Council candidates, challengers. Not the incumbents, because we don't have time to interview everybody. There's 21 of them running. Oh, my goodness. And we've just spoken to Jane Ahern and given her 15 minutes of fame, as Andy Warhol had said a few years ago. And now just arriving. Is it still raining out there? Okay, get his microphone on. The council candidate does keep aware of the weather. That's very good. He knows which way the wind is
Among
blowing.
Among other things,
yes.
Folks.
Well, that's bad jokes, but we're in that mood today, I guess.
Oh, good.
No, we have our special guest in the studio for his 15 minutes of fame is Mo Barrow, who is one of
Mo Barrow.
Barrow.
B-E-R-O. Yes.
Yes.
Mohammed Barrow.
That's
very
okay.
Good. It's B-E-R-R-O. He's a retired police officer and is that in Dearborn?
Dearborn, yes.
Yes, okay. And he's been serving the city over 25 years. We'll get into the interview and let him give his background and educational experience and why he feels he's qualified for Dearborn City Council. So welcome to the Journal, Mr. Barrow.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us about yourself.
Sure. As you said, I'm born and raised in Dearborn, a true native. Been here all my life and worked my way up through the police force, 25 years on the police force, done many things with the police force. And I, like I tell everyone, I would have ran for city council while I was on the police force. I was always interested, but rules and regulations prohibit that, running for any political office, being on the police force. Mm-hmm. And upon retiring, just wanting to represent the citizens and be a voice in the community and have a say in what happens. You know, being on the police force, I've seen a lot, of course, and being behind the scenes, I know a lot of things that are happening. And I don't want to see a lot of things that are happening. You know, there's a lot that I support and a lot that I don't support.
Okay. Well, let's get into some of those things then. Our second question is, it's polarizing, or it's controversial, I guess, a little bit, but Mayor O'Reilly, pro or con? And that's because in the last few weeks and months, it seems to be some, you know, these camps are not just issue-oriented, but now it's becoming like, which side are you on? And, of course, the papers have, I think, appropriately had editorials recently that that's not in any way a productive approach to politics or life in general. But how do you feel about Mayor O'Reilly, let's say the major issues that he's taken stands on in the last couple of years?
Look, for the position we're in and for the candidates that are running for mayor right now, Mayor O'Reilly is right for the job. Okay. You know, he's a good man. He's doing the best he can, I believe. There's a couple things like I said, with the financial situation and what's happening with the benefits and pay cut, and I don't just say this because I'm a retired police officer. I always stand for police and fire because they protect us. They provide us with one of the highest quality of services in the nation. They're respected and known for their services, police and fire. And to see pay cuts or benefit cuts to these services, as well as our city services, you know, keeping the streets clean, the snow plowed. I mean, we have great services. And I don't like to see these pay cuts and benefit cuts to these services and affect our quality of applicants that we receive. And you know, the big question is, should we have purchased a new city hall? And I honestly don't think we should have purchased a new city hall if we're going to make pay cuts to our public services. That's where I stand on that issue. There are of course many issues and mm-hmm. that need to be discussed. Yeah, of course, okay. I only have 15 minutes.
So. Well, right. No, but we're going to touch on some quickly, and I know that sound bites, that is just responding like in 10 or 15 seconds to some of these. These questions, all of them, are much more complicated than a quick response.
Sure, of course.
And what value is a quick response if you say, I'm for it or I'm against it? I understand that. So
sure.
At least we're not looking for 10 seconds altogether. We're looking for, 15 times 60, 300 seconds. So
There you go.
So if you'd like to make decisions, why not run for mayor? I know that might seem like a facetious question, but...
Sure. Well, look, Dearborn has a history of the tradition of Dearborn is re-electing the incumbents. And, you know, sometimes we need to break away from these traditions. And, you know, like I said, right now I want to work my way up to become mayor. I don't want to just jump into the frying pan. You know, I'm going to admit, you know, I mean, just like Mayor O'Reilly, he was councilman for... umpteen years, you know.
A long time,
you know, before he became mayor. So, I mean, that's a position that needs to be earned and respected.
Mm-hmm. So on the new city hall issue, our next question, you've already said you thought, you know, that money spent when there's other things that have been sacrificed is either wrong or just very difficult to do. So I guess you would have been then in favor of renovating the old city hall.
Renovating to the minimum standards to keep. I'm not saying we don't need a new city hall, but there's always a time and place for things.
Well, and, you know, I'm reminded of the high school on the east side, Fortson.
Yes.
They have a very old building. It is classically beautiful on the outside,
yes.
And they actually went to the voters and said, "Will you pay extra money to renovate this, because it's going to be costly, and it's probably even going to cost a little more for ongoing costs, too, heating and cooling. But will you pay that extra money? And voters in Dearborn said yes.
Exactly.
And I bet, and nobody suggested this, I haven't heard anyone say, but and I don't want to have to go back in time. Maybe everything is sort of a done deal and the direction is going. But I realize those costs, too, but I just wonder if it was put up for a vote, would people have agreed to actually pay more money to renovate City Hall, maybe try to make it a little more efficient. You can only do so much with the walls and and the ceiling and the floor plan. I understand that, but I just hadn't heard that. Okay. What about cuts to budget versus income? In other words, there's going to be some big crunches coming up when the extra millage goes away in 3 years and the personal property taxes collected from business are going away by state regulation. They're going to go away. The state has said, well, we'll make up some of that, but we don't know how yet. What do you think? What can we do?
What can we do? Well, you know, to be honest,
you did say in your League of Women Voters responses, you want to make Dearborn's economy boom. Obviously, we had more businesses here and they were paying more taxes. Well, okay, and that might make up for some of the loss. How are you going to get more business here? Any ideas on that?
I do have some ideas. You know, one thing everybody knows, one of my pet peeves, and it's probably not a major issue, but the parking meters.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see those go. I'm not in favor of paid
the parking. West Dearborn paid parking.
The West,
right.
West Dearborn. And I think these, you know, this affects the – I've heard a lot of business owners talk to me and voice their concern about the parking meters and that it is a hindrance. I mean, I myself, you know, with my wife and kids – when we're out to dinner, sometimes there's been times I've had to run out. Honestly, I put in for an hour, and it takes longer than an hour sometimes on a week. I have to go back and put more change in the parking meter. I mean, that's an inconvenience. And there's other things, of course, other benefits we can give businesses to encourage them, brand-name businesses to come back to Dearborn or to come into Dearborn and increase our economy. And that's what I like to see grow. And, of course, another issue is our schools. I like to see continue with our special needs kids continuing their quality service for our special needs kids. You know, I have a special needs daughter who has, some issues, but thank God, you know, Dearborn's a good school system, but we don't want to see these things depleted in our school security.
Well, certainly, of course, city council candidates can't directly impact the school system, but lead by example. You can be a spokesperson, you can champion causes, even if you don't have the legal control yourself, and that's I think it's important to be out there in the community and speak your mind especially if you're one of our elected officers, but really everyone that wants to see the city be better needs to make some sort of input somehow. Okay, we've covered a few of these issues. These are some of the quickie ones. See a problem with the fire department merger with Melvindale?
No, honestly, I don't see a problem with that. If again, that's to provide quality service to helping another city.
Well, you know, your issue about the pensions, apparently there's still seven senior officers in the Melvindale Fire Department who were kind of like being hurt here. I don't know how that happened, and it may still be in flux. There was some lingering negotiation going on that, but it looks like it's really going to be better services and more efficient for everybody, Melvindale and Dearborn. It seems to be definitely a win-win, except for those poor seven senior officers, but they might still be doing something about that. That wasn't resolved the last story that I read, that's a lingering little detail there. But to lose a pension that you worked for years and years and years on, that you expected, you planned for it.
Absolutely.
I mean, I was retired here from Henry Ford Community College with full-time position, and then the state of Michigan decided to take away money from me after I was already retired by a tax.
Right, right.
And it didn't affect all the people, but I couldn't even plan for that loss because it happened when I was already retired. So that's not the way, when government makes promises like that, and I know it's tough, like City of Detroit, totally bankrupt. What the heck are you going to do? I think the state or the federal, somebody ought to move in to keep those promises going, because it seems to me that's a big-time contract. But oh well,
Absolutely.
Let's moving on here. The libraries, the pools, historical museum.
Oh, yes, the libraries, pools, all these things need to be maintained, especially these parks and the pools. We can't close our parks and pools for for these kids in our community. I mean, when I grew up, things, I mean, and I know, like I say, I always say this in my speeches, you know, nothing lasts forever, but there's things that we need to maintain. And we need to maintain, for example, in the South End, you can't, LaPierre Park, you don't want to close the park, and that's all they have. I mean, that's not, they probably need another parking pool, not to take away, they need to add. I mean, because that's all those kids have, for the most part. And in East and West Dearborn, we can't take our parks and pools away. You know, again, it's 90 degrees out there. So, you know, not everybody can afford a pool. A kid in the city, we need to maintain these things. Again, this goes back to the city's spending. Where are we spending the money? Is it in the right place? Is it the right time?
They used to have years ago, and it does cost a little bit of money, but they had actually coordinators that used to come in and set up like special programs for kids in each park in the city. I know my daughter, I think, did one for a while. This is like 20 years ago. I'm just saying.
They still do that.
They still?
At Ten Eichen, where we were at, yeah, they had a... Well,
not every park.
Like a park attendant?
Yeah,
and all
the kids were out there?
Yeah. Sure. Actually, my kids did that last year. They Park.
Good. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's great. And you know what? If they don't have it at every park, they need to have that in every park.
Well, I think it was special and, you know, involving of the community.
Yes.
I mean, when you're doing things with your neighbors in a positive way,
absolutely.
It makes everybody feel better about who and what's going on. Okay, so let's see. Some city extras, which maybe could be sold someday. I mean, we're getting back into operating Mystic Creek, the golf course. Maybe we'll make some money on that. Camp Dearborn, I'm not sure if it was losing money or making money, but they're going to continue to try to make some renovations to that, some improvements.
Yes.
So I think those are just sort of break-even points, perhaps, right now?
You know, right now I think they are. But, no. And I support everything in Dearborn. I graduated from Fortson. You were talking about Fortson, and so
right.
did my wife. And we just came from Camp Dearborn with our family. We spent a week up there. You know, so I put as much money into the city as I can. And
a week? You were in one of the cabins?
Yeah, actually, we had the tent village. We did
tent
a tent
village.
For the first time. We're trying to break our kids into the camping thing before
sure.
we take them into a full camping
right.
Expedition, we had to break them in easily. So it's kind of a luxury camping, you know.
They probably still have cell phone towers around there.
Yeah,
so
they, it works.
You don't want to be totally cut off with the virtual reality.
Exactly.
Hmm.
My kids are young, so I had to break them in slowly.
The Dearborn Animal Shelter has been looking for new facilities. They're overcrowded for years and years. I know it's a sort of an extra. Mayor O'Reilly mentioned in his interview on this show on the 19th of April that if they move into the new City Hall, that they would and the train station opens up and they leave the other one behind, that then they would actively make that space available for the new animal shelter.
Right.
It didn't say they were going to finance anything, though, but... They would just,
well, they have enough money.
Well, they were talking.
Really?
They've been talking about building a new animal shelter for 10 years, where the old police impound lot, they had a sign up there.
Right,
for
yes.
10 years, you know, right. New home of the Dearborn Animal Shelter.
Yeah, the Dearborn City Council did pass a non-binding resolution years ago saying, we'll try to put you in there if the time is right. We're kind of going to remember you for that location.
Exactly.
And, of course, that was before there was even a new train station thought of. So
right,
I told Mayor O'Reilly as a joke that I just hope they make the new facility, once it's financed and built, soundproof so it doesn't disturb the doggies and kitties when the trains go by.
You know? Yeah. You're so compassionate.
I know. I mean, that's right now it's just the garbage trucks going in and out of the DPW that might make some noise. From. They're down on Greenfield Road, folks, just south of I-94, and great people. It's all volunteers. The Dearborn Animal Shelter, the Friends of the Dearborn Animal Shelter is a volunteer group, sort of like WHFR, with only a couple people getting paid, the management people, and they have to raise pretty much all their money. The city gives them a permission to do it, and I think a small stipend of like $10,000 or $20,000 a year, but it's just a token thing compared to what they need to run it. But it's working, and it's worked beautifully for years, so... Sort of like WHFR. I'm sorry. Do you have any new ideas, things that you've been talking about that you think maybe you'd like to propose if you were on the city council?
Oh, absolutely. Of course, like I said, the business district, to increase the economy of Dearborn, school safety, security for our children with all the things that have happened. We need to increase those situations there to protect our children.
Okay.
And more feedback from the community. If I hopefully win city council, I want to make myself available to the citizens, easy to get a hold of, easy to contact, so they can voice their concerns to me.
Okay.
And I know I can give some personal contact information when you're ready. Let me know.
Yeah. Well, right now, we're going to ask you to maybe do a brief summary. Give you about a minute here. I can say we've been speaking for the last 15 minutes with Mo Barrow, who is one of the 21 candidates at this point in the primary election August 6th for Dearborn City Council, going to the final election. The top 14 will go to the final election in November. His campaign website, which I got from League of Women Voters, .org, League of Women Voters Dearborn, Dearborn Heights, .org, is Barrow, B-E-R-R-O, for Council. In this case, he doesn't use the number four, but the word four, F-O-R, so it's barrowforconsul.com. And there you go. So give us sort of a summary statement why people should vote for you, what they should primarily keep in mind, and if you have other contact information or you have other places you're going to be appearing out in public in the near future, let us know now.
Yes, thank you. So my thing is, look, I've been a police officer for 25 years. I served the city. I've worked hard for the city. And I'm not saying that's a free ticket to council, but it should account for something,
it does. We really appreciate that service.
Thank you. And I had a fundraiser last week, but as far as appearances, if somebody would like me to come, and I would love to come to churches or any kind of organizations to speak and to. They can voice their concerns. I'm easy to get a hold of. I have an email. My email is citycouncil@mobero.com. So citycouncil@mobero.com. Give me a call. I'll be happy to speak at a function that you have, anybody out there. Or if you need yard signs, please email me. I have lawn signs that can be put out. We need all the support we can get.
Well, I'm sure we'll probably see you around the community, certainly at Dearborn Homecoming somewhere. I'm not sure how the police are going to cordon off, corral political candidates. I personally think it should be different than people that are issue-oriented. Mm-hmm. I think they should actually put the candidates like in one of the pavilions for a few hours, like on Saturday or Sunday, and each have a table where people can come around and talk to you. But to have you, they've been, for the last couple of years, and you probably have been there and seen, they've been corralling these issue-oriented people that have things they want to talk about in an area off Monroe Street before you go over the bridge. They don't allow them to have a tent or even an umbrella to keep from the sun, and they just have to sort of stand there, and they can't use bullhorns, they can't hand out anything.
Right.
I think there's a difference between an actual candidate who's on the ballot who wants to get their message out at a public event like this and the needs or situation for issue-oriented people. I think they all should be, like, under a tent somewhere, to tell you the truth. I don't think it's fair to have them in the blistering sun.
What happened to freedom of speech, huh?
Well, really, I mean, it has to be controlled and I think somewhat courteous, but it's still fair to give those people a space to interact and to make their case, not to cause trouble, but especially, you know, official legal candidates that are on a ballot needs some sort of special consideration. But I don't know I haven't been part of the planning, so. And I guess they don't listen to the show and take notes. Thank you so much, Mo Barrow, for being with us on the new WHFR Journal today, and good luck in getting your message out to the electorate of Dearborn.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks very much. We're going to listen to another commentary now from Jim Hightower. This is all about our housing crisis here in America, and we'll be back with more of the new WHFR Journal.
We have a serious housing shortage in America these days, and the stress it's creating for needy families is approaching heart attack levels. Did you know, for example, that the inventory of million-dollar homes in Carmel, California, is down to only 4 properties? That's a 76% drop in only 1 year. But the tragedy doesn't stop there, for this is a cross-country crisis. Consider the poor people in Old Greenwich, Connecticut, where only 10 homesteads in the million-dollar range remain on the market. Yes, my friend, it's not merely the poor and middle class who can't find suitable housing, but many of our wealthiest citizens are hurting too. What's happening here is a surge of multimillionaire hedge funders, Silicon Valley high-techers, oil and gas frackers, and other super-richers who are in a frenzy to snap up luxury second, third, and fourth homes. More disturbing is the influx of flashy Russian, Middle Eastern, and Asian tycoons grabbing high-end homes like they're M&Ms, shutting out our homegrown rich. So where the hell is Congress? Any immigration reform worthy of the name would set quotas to protect our own. And doesn't this crunch in the ultra-wealthy housing market just cry out for a mansion construction subsidy? If our national leaders won't help the most privileged among us, who will they help? The situation is so dire that many of the moneyed elites are being forced to scrounge around like commoners to find rental properties. Luckily, there are some swell homes still available out in the Hamptons, renting for about $1 million. For the summer, that is. Yes, that's almost $10,000 a day, not counting utilities and the pool boy's salary. But in tough times, the rich tend to toughen up, reach for their wallets, and do what has to be done. This is Jim Hightower saying, and after all, isn't that what makes America so exceptional?
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
So we're back with the new WHFR Journal live in the studio here. Dennis and myself are going to finish up the... finish up coughing.
I don't have to cough.
The local Dearborn news, and we did have two... of the 21 candidates for Dearborn City Council on the air today. I'm going to cough again.
Okay, listen, we're very thankful that they made themselves available. Obviously, we love to get the word out, their message. But it's very important to say that the opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of anyone here at the college or the station, and they may be solely of the candidates. So we just want to get that out of the way.
Yeah, right. But it's great to hear about these challengers, the new voices on the radio, and when you meet them in person, they're new faces, and maybe we need some new ideas that these new people could, at least if they have open minds and open ears, maybe they could move in new directions when the opportunity came. You know?
And I think that that's what this particular show, like the League of Women Voters debates and their own activities that they have, this is supposed to introduce the candidates to the voters. And now it's I think it's very important for the voters to, in turn, get more information, find out where these people are going to be, and talk to them.
And to speak for the incumbents, sometimes when they have these challenges – and they hear a good idea from a challenger, they kind of grab it and incorporate it themselves.
There's no such thing as an original thought. You're
right.
Exactly right.
And that's fine. That's all fine. But until you have these like competitions for office regularly, you're not going to have that kind of sharing or that kind of, you might say, necessity to reconsider what you're already doing or new ideas. So that's why we're doing the challengers. And we do have... where they say we have extended our offers, electronically at least, to all the candidates.
We've spoken to a few on the phone as well.
The challengers. And we're going to try to schedule them at their convenience and at their preference. Some of them have indicated maybe they want to wait until after August 6th. That's
right.
Assuming they're going to be one of the top 14.
I like that confidence.
that's fine. Okay, because we can't get... all the challengers, however many there may be, there'll be at least 12 challengers out of the remaining, not 12, there'll be out of many 14, 9 challengers.
Right.
There'll be the 5 incumbents, we assume, will all get back on.
Right.
But then there will be at least 9 challengers, maybe some that you've heard here before. And remember, you can always go back to the shows. They're indicated on our website under Talk Shows, WHFR Journal. And not just the dates are there, but I've added the names of the people we've interviewed, like Kristen Taylor a couple months ago. So it'll be relatively easy, and Mayor O'Reilly, it'll be relatively easy to go back and find these interviews and assume that they're might change their opinion on something by the time you hear it, but still.
Again, it's an introduction. There's no way they can possibly tell all of their feelings and all the things they'll do in 15 minutes or even an hour for that matter. Mm-hmm. So if you have specific questions, folks, you have email, you have phone, you have in-person visits, you can go out there and ask them. Somebody, when I first started my Dearborn Heights beat for the Dearborn Press and Guide, somebody said, you know, just because somebody's elected doesn't mean they're qualified. So it's very important that it's not a popularity contest, but based on real information and real results.
Yep. Well, one of the important stories we wanted to share with you actually does come from the city, because we're approaching 4th of July, next Thursday, okay? And that's a time, some people going out of town, but often people are getting into that fireworks thing, which I think is tremendously unsafe. Now we see Mayor Bloomberg in New York City is worried about sparklers.
Yeah.
And I have to say, there was a joke on The Daily Show by John Oliver this week about how he remembers some really good times in his childhood playing with a 1,500-degree piece of wire. And it's true, sparklers, if you touch them or if you get them too close to something flammable, they will cause a fire.
Sure.
And if you don't just hold them at the very end, but even that, when it burns down, gets a little warm, if not downright hot. And so we always just threw them up in the air at the end when they were legal in Detroit 50 years ago. And they came down and hit people in the head and started fires. It was great fun.
Wow.
No, they didn't. I mean, you didn't want that to happen, but of course it could happen when you do that. So sparklers, there's a degree, even with sparklers, a degree of hazard involved. So here are the rules. Here's what the city says. Dearborn residents are reminded to follow state and local laws, as well as exercise extreme caution when using fireworks. Now, state and local laws apply to the guidelines for purchase and use of fireworks. Number one, consumer fireworks are only allowed on certain days. The state of Michigan in 2012 removed the ban on the sale and use of many types of powerful or airborne fireworks known as consumer fireworks. These include bottle rockets, Roman candles, capital R, Roman candles, firecrackers, and other items that leave the ground when discharged. The use of consumer fireworks is only legal, though, on the day before, day of, or day after national holidays such as the 4th of July. I don't know anybody doing it around Easter, but anyway, Dearborn's fireworks ordinance prohibits use of those types of fireworks on any other days of the year, by the way. So maybe the state doesn't, but Dearborn says only day before, day of, day after 4th of July. Dearborn residents are encouraged to call 313-943-3030 to anonymously report unsafe or illegal activity in their neighborhood. In fact, that's good for anything, even not including fireworks. So if you live in Dearborn and you're wondering how you can give a tip to the police about something, and it's anonymous, 313-943-3030, 943-3030, anonymously report unsafe or illegal activity in your neighborhood or just something suspicious. Now, if there is a dangerous emergency situation, by all means, 911.
Now, how recent is this information that you have? I'm curious.
June 24th. So it's this year. It's what applies now. It's in the papers this week.
Interesting,
also.
Because I thought that the state was revisiting this very...
Well, here we go.
Here we go.
Back to state regulations and fireworks. Important restrictions still apply. All residents should be aware of no one's allowed to use fireworks on public properties, including schools, churches, government buildings, cities, streets, or parks. No one is allowed to ignite or discharge fireworks in any way that would cause them to land on someone else's private property. And that's a problem for me. These things go up, but who knows where they're going to come down? They're not guided missiles. They don't have internal guidance systems, computers that adjust when the wind blows too far. So anything that goes up won't necessarily come down where you've pointed it. You know, they could even partially misfire and go off to the side
it's
or something.
Highly unlikely.
So
sure.
To me, and I guess I'm too conservative on this, but going off to the side is crazy. Now, you know the fireworks display in Detroit, you probably saw on the news, I just found out, they had a couple of stampedes.
No, I didn't know.
Last Monday.
Huh.
When they had these. And somebody thought there, apparently, one person said anyway, one person, somebody shot a gun, a real gun somewhere. But the word went out, and then mob mentality, 80,000, 100,000 people started running for their lives without knowing why they were running.
Right.
And it happened twice. Well, in the background, I saw some like cell phone videos of both stampedes that were put up on MLive.com. And, of course, there were people around the person What happened? Why are you running? What happened? I don't know. I don't know. Ah! No idea. And yet, in the background, you could hear the audio. Boom, 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 boom. Really loud, because that's what fireworks are these days. Mm-hmm. So I could understand somebody would think that a particular boom was a gun going off, if they really didn't know what gun sounds are. And there's many different kinds of sounds of, you know, a rifle, a .22 pistol, a bazooka. They all sound a little different, you know, probably. But it seems to me the first thing, and this is possible, honest, and I've never liked the booming fireworks. I want to see the pretty colors in the sky. They don't have to go boom, okay? They don't have to, folks. And they weren't in the 50s and 60s when I was young. So they don't have to. They just have to be pretty to me. And if there wasn't a boom or a bang, then if there was a gunshot, you would know to run for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no cause for a stampede. So there's a real question. In fact, a lot of these people who are running away say, I'm never coming back again.
Isn't there an inherent boom when it first discharged from the ground?
There's a whoosh sound, and I can't do it exactly over the air here, but then there's a crackle in the sky when they explode just enough to get the flamey embers out, the colorful stuff out. Mm-hmm. They have to explode in this, but that's not the part that goes boom, the firecracker boom, the bang that equals the sound to me of a cannon or a machine gun or something, which they've added. They've actually added those, folks. It's not part of the nature of fireworks. They can make them so that they're relatively quiet and don't sound like guns at all. And I would think for the sake of a gathering that large, so that somebody can't say, oh, What the heck was that? Oh, it was a gun. Somebody just shot a gun off. Run. And then everybody else just panicking and running. You can't have that happen. Now, again, they got extra police there. They brought the cars in. I said, what happened? You know, they're trying to stop these people. Like, how can you stop them? And they're all saying, I'm never going back there. It's not safe. Well, nothing happened. They keep investigating. And to my knowledge, there is no actual knifing or gunshot or anything that should have started those two different stampedes at two different times. But over a third of the people that were down there left in those two stampedes.
Wow.
So that's a strange problem. This is fireworks. But you asked about new city law likely to go into effect in Dearborn in August. And, you know, the homecoming is going to have big fireworks displays in Ford Field, Dearborn's Ford Field in West Dearborn.
Right.
New state law signed by the governor on June 19th allows municipalities, that's like Dearborn, to enact local ordinances to enforce stricter times of use for consumer fireworks. According to the state law, cities may prohibit use of these fireworks between the hours of midnight and 8 p.m.
8 a.m.
8 a.m. when, like, I'm trying to sleep.
Sure.
Old person that I am. I go to bed by midnight. The day before of, the day of, and the day after the national holiday. So for New Year's Day, by the way, the prohibited hours would be 1 to 8 a.m. They let you party until 1 a.m., and then you've got to stop those fireworks.
This is huge. This is a huge, the ability to create these ordinances. They couldn't do this before the
new 19th. Quiet hours. The state has said you can do it, and because the new state law is only a mechanism, the city of Dearborn must pass an amendment to its fireworks ordinance to do it. The amendment is expected to be introduced, though, at the council's next regular meeting, which is set for July 23rd.
I will bet that will be quick.
So we'll give you the word if that goes through. If it is approved... wait a minute. It's likely the amendment will be approved August 13th, the next meeting after July 23rd. So it won't have anything to do with Dearborn Homecoming because our fireworks anyway are earlier. They're like...
The second.
Yeah, but in terms of time, they're only from
9:30, 10 o'clock
to 10:45.
When it's dark for maybe 20 minutes or half an hour.
So that's not the issue, just this personal fireworks.
Right.
And it will apply then for New Year's Day if they get it passed. That'll be the next time.
And there had to be a read. Mm-hmm. You had to read it through with this.
Of course, like any major amendment to a city charter.
So there's a process.
But residents are urged to use caution. There's so many people hurt every year. More now that the laws have changed. Thank you very much, legislators. And there was more than 8,000 people across the country in 2010 that were treated for burn injuries caused by fireworks. And of course, property damage, too. Thousands of dollars of things because things caught on fire. So remember, you will be held accountable for any injury or property damage caused by discharging fireworks, even if you say it was an accident.
Mm-hmm. That's not my beer. And really, alcohol and fireworks don't go together, and so many people kind of, you know, mix that.
Mm-hmm. Couple of other quick things here. A couple of minutes to go, and Highway 61 is going to get started, our blues show on Friday afternoons from 2 to 6 p.m. Looking back at the paper, just a couple of things, and maybe you want to, you get your 10 seconds to come if you want to. Did you see that the Dearborn Press and Guide is starting a new internet video channel where all their reporters are going to blog, and they invite individuals to blog.
All of their reporters.
And it's a site that probably somebody else has developed, and they just got their own place on it called Toot.
Okay.
And that's T-O-U-T, which is the French spelling, or sometimes it could be spelled this way for the word all, but... Because I thought toot was T-O-O-T, like the train whistle, toot, mm-hmm. toot, you know, anyway. Or maybe it's just two, as the French would say that word. Anyway, my problem with a blog is it's not news. It's not responsible journalism. It's one person's opinion, and it's very subjective, and these people don't necessarily have training in objectivity and even good writing skills. I'm sorry, no disrespect to anybody who's blogging, but I'm saying you're not a journalist. You haven't been trained. You're not a professional journalist. And other people might want to hear your opinion. That's fine. Do all the commenting you want to. But to have a newspaper support primarily a blog site. Now, their reporters are able to blog, but it's really embarrassing.
But you see, the whole point of this is to get more people. It's to have... you're almost guaranteed readership because the people doing the writing are going to be reading their own things, and they're going to be sending it and sharing it. So it's a very, very, it's a powerful way to get more people involved in the whole process of the reporting as well as the actual broadcasting or getting the news out there. Another part of it is that you're right. They don't have to necessarily be qualified. At the same time, they are in the news.
I've already got a list. I've already got a list of...
We do. I want to cover something really quick here. Jay's on the phone. We have something from the League of Women Voters, and they wanted to make sure we knew about the League's voter service activities for the primary. There'll be no printed voter guides. They do hope to have them in November. What people want to do is go to the League's website at This is the one Jay was talking about earlier. www.lwvddh. League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights, lwvddh.org. And that's for all the information about the local candidates. Then you can click right away for a PDF of the information. So there's actually a version that you can actually print out. And all about the Dearborn candidates. And you can go to the link for Vote 411 to choose two candidates at a time to, technically, you can compare them. I actually tried that particular part of the website. It was really cool because you can take two people head-to-head and see exactly what their thoughts are on any given subject.
Okay, thank you very much, Dennis. This is Jay Koronek saying goodbye for the new WHFR Journal for today. Stay tuned for Highway 61, the best in the blues this afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. Time.